Thank you, Chair. In many ways, the discussions at the GGE this week have been the most substantively productive we have observed in several years. On each of the agenda items, states have engaged in intensive deliberations on key aspects of the normative and operational framework, both to elaborate upon their own written proposals and to provide critical feedback and analysis to those of others in the room. We would like to thank you, Chair, for your effective facilitation of the week's meeting, and to all delegates in the room for your work and collaboration in moving the conversation forward. We see significant positive developments in states' positions this week. In a wide range of statements made from states in all regions, we observed willingness to evolve and to enhance specific policy details. When people engage with the issue of autonomous weapon systems in an open way, there is clear recognition of the serious risks they pose and a determination to work on solutions. The true effectiveness of the CCW as a forum will, however, depend on whether the results of this meeting are reflected in a report and translated into action this year. Mr. Chair, if I may take this opportunity to identify four key areas in which we have seen the consolidation of policy coherence this week that we believe should be reflected in the work ahead. Firstly, on risks. Throughout this week, we have seen recognition of a wide range of risks. These include legal, ethical, humanitarian, security, environmental, and social risks. These recognitions are a testament to how far-reaching and serious the challenges arising from autonomous weapon systems are. A framework that is fit for purpose must be capable of safeguarding against all these risks, and we would encourage a holistic and comprehensive approach in agreeing a framework to respond to these risks. Secondly, on characterization. Throughout this week, states have recognized that the issue of autonomy in weapon systems raises concerns around both the relationship between the user and the system and around the weapon systems themselves. Written proposals have offered concrete solutions to both sets of concerns. Each of these perspectives are valid. States have an opportunity now to deal with both the means and methods of the development and use of autonomous weapon systems and should agree upon legal rules in relation to how the systems are used and rules related to the systems themselves. However, we must avoid an approach that narrowly defines the issue or enables loopholes to subvert the framework. In this regard, we have been pleased to see the widespread recognition in this room this week that lethality, as a qualifier to these discussions, must be dropped. Thirdly, on prohibitions and regulations. We now have very widespread recognition that prohibitions are required on certain types of autonomous weapon systems, notably those that cannot be used with meaningful human control. We are pleased to see substantive proposals and engagements on how to approach this. However, as many delegations have pointed out, we must take a human-centric approach to these requirements and recognize the need for a user to exert meaningful human control throughout the critical functions of detecting, selecting, and engaging targets. We've also seen detailed recommendations on the types of regulations that are needed, to include limits and positive obligations. Chair, you have had plenty of substance contained in written proposals and from discussions this week, and these can usefully be collated into a rich body of criteria for regulations to ensure meaningful human control. In addition, we are seeing increasing recognition of the need for a prohibition on systems that are designed to target humans. The State of Palestine and Austria call for a specific prohibition on this basis. The US, UK, Australia, Canada, Japan, and South Korea call for a prohibition on systems that target civilians. Although, as correctly pointed out, being a civilian is a dynamic concept, and someone can be a combatant in one concept scenario and a civilian in another. Ultimately, though, this prohibition should apply in any scenario. As well as the ethical concerns around digital dehumanization, there are clear challenges here to existing legal principles, and we agree that a prohibition on targeting humans must be prohibited. Is required. My apologies. Fourthly, on form. Although some divergences remain within proposals on the form of the instrument that is required, the majority of states recognize the need for a legally binding instrument, and other states have indicated openness to a legally binding instrument in the future. Here, we emphasize the urgency of this issue. We are at a critical point where we are seeing the increasing use of weapons with autonomous functions in contemporary conflicts. Negotiations for a legally binding instrument are needed now. Delay is not an option if we are to avoid the widespread proliferation of autonomous weapon systems. Finally, in conclusion, Stop Killer Robots appreciates the productive work this week, and we agree with others that progress must now be reflected in the report of the GGE. If we are unable, once again, to translate the substantive discussions of this week into a report that reflects the progress made, it would continue to undermine the credibility of this forum. We recognize here that it will be a challenge to turn the productive discussion this week into concrete outcomes, but we all have agency and are capable to meet this challenge. The responsibility of the work ahead is not on the chair alone. All states must now show ambition to provide an adequate response to the risks posed by autonomous weapon systems and agree to the launch of negotiations of a legally binding instrument. Stop Killer Robots will continue to work to support all states and stakeholders to achieve this objective. Thank you once again, Chair.